in honor of the service that people have given, or great men and women that have done great things for our country during the time that it has existed. A memorial can be defined as that which preserves the memory of something. In fact, anything that serves to keep in memory. It can be a monument. It can be a day such as will be honored tomorrow, Memorial Day, a time that's set aside in order to honor, in order to think about others that have given some great service. And it serves two very important purposes. A memorial will first off remind a current generation of some truth that they should know, and yet as humans we tend to be forgetful. We tend to allow lessons of history. We tend to allow the things that we've learned to very quickly slip from us. And so these things serve as a reminder to us to remember those things that should be important. But it also does something else. It teaches future generations that are growing up, and they look at these memorials, whether they be days that are set aside, whether they be monuments or structures that are built in honor of things. And they look at those and they begin asking, why is that there? And we're reminded those memorials help teach those lessons that we hold dear to future generations, so that hopefully they too will learn from history. Then I begin thinking about God. And I think about the great memorials that He has established throughout time for much the same reason. As we go back through the Bible, we begin to recognize that God saw the importance of reminding people of very important lessons that were given throughout time. And to help in that memory, He would begin giving these memorials to remind them of lessons that they should know, or lessons to be reminded of, and lessons to teach their children that they too would hold them very dear. Of course, one of the first that I began thinking of is the rainbow. That memorial, one of the earliest memorials that God would establish. Noah and his family have stepped foot off the ark. They have built an altar unto God. The world has greatly been changed. A sinful generation has been wiped off the face of the earth. The landscape of the earth has been greatly changed. As God sees and smells that sacrifice offered unto Him, He tells Noah, I will establish My covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more from the waters, or by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between Me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set My bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between Me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember My covenant, which is between Me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all of the earth. Genesis 9:11-15. He said, this rainbow that I set in the cloud is going to serve as a memorial. As I look upon that, I'm going to remember My promise unto man. But also as man sees that rainbow in the clouds, he can remember, never again will this earth be destroyed, or all of the life of this earth be destroyed by a flood. Well, certainly we continue to have problems with flooding even today, but not like in the days of Noah. Even just this year, we've been reminded of the great power and the destruction of water as we've looked at Nashville and the floods that have arisen in that area. And yet we can always be comforted by the reminder, never again will God send a global flood like He did in the days of Noah. And He established that covenant there that continues even today. We can look in the sky at times and see that rainbow. And one can be reminded of the covenant that God made with Noah and his descendants even on that day. To go forward in time, and also now we find the nation of Israel. They're down in Egypt, and God is preparing to bring them up by a mighty hand, and that's exactly what He does. And in order to remind this nation of what God has done for them, and how gracious He's been unto them, and the power that He has shown unto them, as they are led out of Egypt, Moses is going to remind them by the Word of God that this event, the Passover, is to become a feast and it's become a yearly memorial unto them of that which God has done. In Exodus 12, verse 14 and 17, he says, "This day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. Ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." Remember the first point of a memorial? To remind you of something significant. That's what God was establishing here as He links the Passover feast and the feast of the unleavened bread. A time of memorial, how God had delivered them out of Egypt. He knew, even as we'll find out as you read through the Pentateuch that Moses records for us, particularly in Exodus and Numbers, how time and again the people would quickly forget God and all that He had done for them. And yet these lessons were a memorial to remind them the things God had done, but not just them. As we go into Exodus chapter 13, and Moses is still talking about this day in verse 3 and then verse 8 and 9. Moses would say unto the people, "Remember this day in which you came forth out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. There shall be no unleavened bread eaten. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. It shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand and for a memorial between thine eyes. And the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, for a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt." Not just it's going to remind you, but in the days to come, as you keep this memorial, as you keep this day of remembrance and this feast of remembrance, you're going to remember what God did for you. And you're going to be able to tell your children how God spared those in the homes upon which the door frames had been sprinkled with that blood as He had instructed. And how when that angel of the Lord came through Egypt on that night, the firstborn of every single home in Egypt was dead. Except those homes that had listened to God and were prepared. Except those homes with the blood upon the doorpost. In that night, God passed over those homes. He spared Israel. And in that night, He brought us up out of Egypt. You remember those things. You remember all that God has done for you. As that nation travels further and they come to Mount Sinai, here again is going to be another memorial given unto them. A day that's going to remind them of the work of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all of thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. He reminded them, the God is establishing with you, the nation of Israel, at this point in time, the Sabbath day as a memorial. It's going to remind you how God worked and how He created the world in 6 days, but in the seventh He rested. And it also now is a time of rest for you. A time of reflection and a time of remembrance as well for all that God had done. As the nation continues then, Moses begins to tell them, you're going to enter into the land of Canaan. And when you do, you need to be reminded of God's law. Moses had seen firsthand how forgetful God's own people could be. He knew how quickly they had forgotten God when He brought them up out of Egypt. So he knew again, they needed this reminder. They needed memorials that would instruct them or continue to point them back to God. Instruct their children as well to follow after God. And so he instructed them, when you enter into Canaan, you find Mount Ebal or Ebal. Upon that mountain you have a special instruction. It shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You shall set up great stones and plaster them with plaster. and write upon them all the words of this law. When thou art passed over, then thou mayest go into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. A land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord thy God hath promised thy fathers. Therefore it shall be, when you have gone over Jordan, you shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal. And there shall plaster them with plaster, and you shall build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift any iron tool upon them. Deuteronomy 27, verse 2 through 5. In fact, if you read through there, he's going to instruct them to assemble on that occasion. You're to build this altar on Mount Ebal. You're to plaster it. You're to write the words of this law upon it, that it might serve as a memorial, as a reminder unto you. You continue in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and he instructs the nations together here. He divides the tribes, some upon Mount Ebal, some upon Mount Gerizim. He said, you're to recite the words of the promises and the words of the cursings, that you might be reminded the good things that will come to you as you follow God, and the bad things that will come unto you if you turn your back upon Him. Because you need to remember those things, and you need to teach your children those things. Other memorials were created. They were instructed from time to time to assemble together and read the words of the law, that they might remind themselves as a nation what they were to do. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 10 and following, Moses commanded the nation and said, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel has come together and appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and the stranger that is within thy gate, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Again, not here a monument, but a reminder. You come together and let these words of God serve as a memorial, as a reminder of the things that you do in service to God. You remind yourselves, this present generation, but it's also serving as an opportunity for you to teach future generations, the children that are coming up and have not heard it read before. They also will have opportunity to hear this law, to hear God's Word and His commandments, and follow after them. Joshua saw the importance of this as well, as they were crossing over Jordan. And he instructed a man from each tribe of Israel to collect the stones out of the Jordan, that they might collect an altar, or build an altar on the other side of Jordan in Canaan. He said, pass over before the ark of the Lord, in the midst of Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time come, saying, what mean you by these stones? And you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Joshua 4, verse 5 through 7. They're going to look at those things in time to come. And you, as you see them, you're going to remember, God led us over Jordan. By His mighty hand, He provided us passage on dry land through the Jordan River. And your children are going to come along, and they're going to ask questions. What's that for? Oh, why did they put that there? And that's going to give you an opportunity. By that memorial, by that altar that you build out of these stones, it's going to give you an opportunity to teach your children exactly what God did for you. All of these things, time and time again, were going to serve as a reminder that you teach your future generation. Won't spend much time here. We've looked at this before as we considered a few weeks or months ago a sermon about keeping our children. And we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we saw Moses' instructions there to continually have God's Word before them. I believe Moses meant it as a reminder to ever keep it before them in the sense of keeping it fresh on their minds. Unfortunately, as the generations went by, they took it more literally and would post the writings of some of the law upon their doorposts. Even as they allowed it to slip out of their minds and out of their hearts, they tried to keep it in a physical fashion. But unfortunately, it seemed to become less and less important to them. But Moses is instructing, by the words I tell you, the words I command you this day, let them be in your heart. Teach them diligently unto your children. Talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Moses is reminding him, let this be a part of every aspect of your life and every day of your life and every moment of your life. Keep the Word of God before you that it guides and directs you, and that in so doing you also teach the children. Because there's a warning. He knows why it's important as you continue down to verse 10 through 12. God is going to give you into the land which He sware unto your fathers. He says He's going to give you goodly cities that you didn't build. He's going to give you houses full of good things that you didn't fill them up. He's going to give you wells that have been dug, but you didn't dig them. He gives you vineyards and olive trees, but you didn't plant them. You're going to eat and be full. But don't forget God. Beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What are these memorials for? To ever keep before them God's Word. To ever keep before them those things that were important. Here He said, as families even, you keep the Word of God before you. I propose also that people can become memorials. We build statues unto those that we consider great leaders, such as Abraham Lincoln pictured here. And we have that monument that's in Washington, D.C., and others that we have honored through time because we see in them particular qualities that we honor. But we do we not find the same thing in God's Word? Time and again, there are people recorded in God's Word for us as memorials, as examples of those that were faithful unto God and richly blessed, and unfortunately sometimes those that were unfaithful to God, and we eventually see their downfall. Oh, but we think of great men such as Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying to his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. Here's the Hebrews writer writing centuries, thousands and thousands of years after Abel had lived upon the face of the earth. And yet he says, even by that which Abel had done, and even by that which is recorded in God's Word, Abel continues to speak even today. He continues to instruct. He continues to be an example of faithfulness unto God that we should follow. In that way, those men and women that are recorded for us in God's Word are set forth as monuments, as memorials of faithfulness to God. We think about in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 13, another example where this is recorded. As a woman comes in and she anoints the head of Jesus with alabaster oil. And Jesus says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there also shall this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. All of those things that we have recorded for us in God's Word then become a memorial for us. They need to do something else for us as well. They need to remind us that our lives can be a memorial to others as well. Our lives become a memorial, even of faithfulness, and an urging and an example for others to follow in that same footstep. Or they become a memorial to unfaithfulness that unfortunately leads many oftentimes into the same example of disobedience to God. And so as Paul is writing unto Timothy, he's going to remind him of the importance of holding God's Word ever before him. You think here now God's Word even becomes a memorial. Because all of those physical things that we've talked about before in the Old Testament were a continual reminder of God, of His faithfulness, of His Word, of their need for continual obedience. And here, as we read in the Scripture reading earlier about from 1 Peter, Peter was going to continually remind Christians as long as he was in this life. He says, I know you know these things, but you need to be reminded of them. And Timothy here, you're a young preacher and you too need to be reminded of the words of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. You have a duty and a responsibility as Christians that we labor. We want to keep God's Word before us. We want to know more about it. We want it to be our memorial, if you will, of what God would have us to do. And to do that, we have to study. He says there's a benefit to it, both for you and for future generations of those that will hear you. Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy, what you do as a preacher, as a faithful Christian, what you do in helping instruct others, that not only benefits you, but it's helping others of your same generation. And it's going to help those that are growing up, those that are just learning about God and about His Word. It's going to help them know the things that they should do as well. And so the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Continued chain of example, a continued chain of faithfulness, that faithfulness serves then as a memorial to God's Word. All of those are certainly great examples. Well, what happened when God came to the need to establish a memorial, the greatest memorial ever upon the face of the earth? What happened when God was ready to create a memorial that's going to remind us of the great love that He had for us and the death that Jesus Christ would die for all people? Was He going to create a great celebration and a parade? Was He going to create a marble statue that it might stand for years and years and that people could look upon? No. When it came time to make the greatest memorial that ever was made, God simply fashioned it. Not out of those things that we would think of as being permanent and lasting. Those things actually that are common. Those things that are perishable. Those things that don't last, but remind us of the lasting sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have before us, even as we partook this morning, or those unable may tonight, of the Lord's Supper, of which Paul reminds us, and when Jesus had given thanks, He broke it. He said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also, He took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, this is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24 through 26. Here, the greatest and lasting memorial, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, for much the same purpose we've looked at these other memorials. My people need a memorial to remember the sacrifice that's been given for them. And this is it. The memorial that He has established a day for. Not periodically as the people choose best. Not randomly, not yearly, but upon the first day of the week. The time when the Christians came together, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, as we find that example there. As we find them coming together, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Upon the first day of the week, when they came together, there was this memorial. There was this reminder. A reminder that was ever to keep before us the body and the blood that Jesus willingly gave on our behalf, the greatest sacrifice ever given. The most humble and simple, yet also the most important memorial ever established. That even still today we continue to remember that great sacrifice that was given for us. And yet as we think about this memorial and in contrast to the memorials of the world, it wasn't given of one that died just for his friends. Not given as one that died just for his country. Well, surely Jesus did that. In John chapter 15, verse 13, as we spoke of earlier, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus knew even of those that were following Him, that loved Him, I'm dying for you. I'm dying that you might have eternal life, but He knew something else as well. It wasn't just for them. Here is a memorial that reminds us of the sacrifice of one that was willing to die even for those of His enemies. I want you to remember again Him upon that cross. The very people He's dying for. Luke 23, verse 35, standing around Him. People stood beholding. The rulers also with them, deriding Him, saying, He saved others. Let Him save Himself. If He be Christ, the chosen of God. Here the very people that He was dying for were mocking Him, were lashing out at Him, were responsible for putting Him there upon that cross. And yet He would pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here was a man that we remember this great sacrifice, not just because he, like many that we know, may have gone out and died for their country or died for their friends. But here was one that was willing to go forth and die even for his enemies. As we mentioned this morning, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God commendeth His love to usward, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not because you deserved it. Not because He was put into our debt, but rather He chose to follow the will of His Father in heaven, which He had laid forth before the foundation of the world, that we might enjoy that eternal life. And so we remember in that memorial one that died even for His enemies, even those that would turn against Him, even those that would put Him upon that cross. But we also don't remember one that was fallen in battle, but rather one that was victorious in death. For as those came upon the first day of the week and they approached the tomb, wondering how are we going to roll back the stone from the door of that tomb, and they come to it, and the stone's already rolled away. They look in. And the angel of God is going to tell them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Luke 24, verse 5 and 6. He wasn't a casualty that was left out on the battlefield. Here we remember one, yes, that was willing to die for us, but was triumphant over death. So that Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 could say in verse 3 and 4, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, now is Christ risen from the dead and became the firstfruits of them that slept. He became the assurance of our resurrection and our eternal salvation, so that He can say in verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sacrifice we remember, one that was willing to die for us, but didn't remain dead. He came forth from the grave and ascended back to the right hand of His Father which is in heaven, that we too can have that hope of eternal life with God in heaven. That's the memorial we remember every first day of the week. That's the memorial that reminds us of those things that are important as we take of those emblems of the bread that reminds us of His body and of the cup that reminds us of His blood. We're to think of Him. We're to think of that great sacrifice. But not only that, if you remember back to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26, He says, you do show forth the death of the Lord until He come. It too is a memorial that teaches others. Those that may visit with us, and even more so particularly our children as they're growing up and they see us do that every week. And they begin wondering, what do you mean by these things? What's the significance of this? And there we have the opportunity. The opportunity, once again, not only that it reminds us of those things that are important, but it gives us opportunity now to teach our children also of those things that we hold dear, of those things that are important, those things that they need to know as well. Indeed, what's the greatest memorial day? Today. The first day of the week, the first day of every week, when we come together and we remember this great memorial feast, these emblems that remind us of that great sacrifice of God's love. And yet here's a big important difference. So we think about the world's Memorial Day or this nation's Memorial Day that will be observed tomorrow. You know, ultimately, aside from sinful conduct, it doesn't matter how you observe tomorrow. It doesn't matter if you decide to sleep late. It doesn't matter if you decide to maybe take an easy day. If you get together with family or friends, if you have hot dogs or if you have hamburgers or if you do something completely different. If you go to some memorial service that is in memorial of those maybe we've known. All of those things are things we may partake in. And it doesn't really matter eternally how we remember that Memorial Day. But of this great Memorial Day, it does. How are we going to spend it? Unfortunately, many see it as nothing more than just an opportunity to spend time with family and friends and maybe to relax and stay at home. Oh, others see it important, but don't observe it according to God's instructions. Don't observe it according to the one that we're striving to please. When He said, "This is how I would have you to remember me in the bread and the fruit of the vine. This is how I would have you to remember me, not at your own choice, but upon the first day of the week, that you have that continual memorial before you of my sacrifice." Of that Memorial Day, it does matter how we observe it. And so if we thought of those things tonight, I hope you'll remember how important memorials are. They remind us of these things that we hold dear, these things we hold important. They serve as opportunities for us to teach future generations. I hope even tomorrow you'll remember those that have given their lives in order that we can have the freedoms and the comforts that we enjoy in this nation. But even more importantly than that, I hope you remember the greatest memorial day, that first day of every week, and honor it according to the instructions and the desires of the one who died for us. That memorial that reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, of the one that died for us that we might live with Him for all of eternity. Reminds us of that. It serves to teach future generations, others that are around us, that they too can enjoy that same hope, that same eternal life, by knowing the one that we are remembering, the one that we are memorializing in this which God has set forth. We can do that every first day of the week as faithful children of God as we assemble together. First, we have to be New Testament Christians. That sacrifice is only beneficial to us that are in Jesus Christ. Those that have been baptized into Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, having put Him on and having first confessed Jesus Christ, having repented of our sins, and now being baptized or immersed in water for the remission of our sins, washing them away, Acts 22 and verse 16. Continuing with Him faithfully as we stumble and we fall, we repent and turn from those things once again, seeking His forgiveness according to His instructions. We can confess those things, we can repent of them, and He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That we can continue once again in fellowship with Him. Continuing knowing the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is beneficial even to us. That the blood of His Son cleanses us from our sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. And then we assemble together thankful for that which He has done. Remembering it in that memorial that He has established. Be subject to that invitation. To become a New Testament Christian tonight. To be restored unto Him. Or maybe even as we thought about it tonight, you think in your own personal lives the need and the desire to be more faithful unto God and remembering the great importance of the memorial that God has set before us and what it is to remind us of. If need be known, won't you make that public response necessary as we stand and sing.